Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 307. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. That's the number. Give me a call. Got you till 5 o'clock. Another 2 hours to go until the warm-up show. We got Fleegs back. He's coming and going. Sometimes he's in the morning. Sometimes he's doing the warm-up show himself. He's a man, a jack-of-all-trades, that Michael Fliegelman. But he's back with us for now. And we'll get to his Mets, and we'll get to that ninth inning and all the at-bats they gave you, and Iglesias, and the way he's playing right now, and him in particular, that at-bat. But, I mean, just what a story he's been. And they avoid having the curse of the OMG concert, on some level at least, because it felt like that was going to be a talking point where, oh, here they are again. And they have a game later today at 12:30. To finish out this Pittsburgh series, have a chance to take 3 of 4 from a rival that they are battling with inside the National League wild card race, where they are now tied with Diamondbacks as 2 games back of the San Diego Padres for the third wild card. They are back to 500. Another good start from Manaea. And they'll play one more game today against Pittsburgh and then head home to take on Washington yet again, who they split with earlier in the week. But we'll get to them. But right now we're still talking Yankees, as this is about as frustrating. This might be as frustrated as I've been as a Yankee fan. Like, even last year, watching that dreck was tough, but you knew they weren't very good. I do believe this team is better. I do. They've got Juan Soto and Judge healthy, playing at the top of their games. They had a rotation now that has now put Cole back in and was the best in all of baseball, certainly the American League, maybe, you know, second best this side of Philadelphia, rotation in all of baseball. They went from having a stretch of just excellent start after excellent start. They went the whole season at least going 4 innings. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a record that dates back to the beginnings of baseball. For an entire staff to be like this on a start-out, start-in, start-out basis, that rotation was dynamic. They had the best ERA in the American League. They had a bunch of guys pitching well. They went from that, and Luis Gil talking about starting the All-Star game to none of them being in the All-Star game, not a single starting pitcher. The wheels have fallen off, and for the first time, even guys like me who've defended Aaron Boone against a lot of nonsense, and I still will all morning long if you want to call me with nonsense at 888-808-1019, but even I have to admit that it's not just the losing, because we've dealt with losing, we've seen losing. They still are 18 games over 500. They still are in a playoff position. It's not been so much losing that I can't bear it, but I can't take the style. I can't take the lack of hustle. I can't take the stupid mistakes. And honestly, something inside me broke Friday night. Really, against that first game against the Red Sox, something inside me broke. That was as bad a loss as I've experienced in forever with the Yankees. In a regular season, it's as bad as it gets. And watching DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Volpe completely just stupid their way out of a run. They both just absolutely lazy and stupided their way out of a run. And this team can't afford to do that right now. And something's got to change. And if it has to be the manager, it has to be the manager. I don't think it has to be the manager, but right now it just feels like he's got no answers. And I don't care about the post-game press conference. I don't care about what he says. I don't care that he says, oh, it's right there in front of us. Oh, it's the same thing he said last year. Oh, let's go crazy. What is he supposed to say? Again, show me a manager who's good after losing 16 of the last 22. Show me a manager who's good, who went 6-16, who's good in the postgame. I'd love to see it. But something's got to change. So if it's getting into the guys publicly or benching everybody or making serious changes in the roster, something's got to change, because watching DJ LeMahieu, and I'll tell you right now, after these couple calls, I'll tell you exactly why DJ LeMahieu's playing so much. And everybody seems to be baffled by it. I'll tell you exactly why. But let's get to the calls first. John in Brooklyn, what's up, John?
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, John. How's it going?
Not very good.
No,
right?
It's not going very well for us Yankee fans. This is a...
Well, yeah, I know.
I mean, I know. I get on Yankee fans. I get on Yankee fans for always thinking it's a tough time to be a Yankee fan when it's not. Right now, it is a tough time to be a Yankee fan.
And I was I wasn't really particularly interested in this baseball season because it started off with the Mets playing lousy, and that's my team.
Right.
And with the Yankees like playing like they were never going to lose.
Yep. That is absolutely true. And all the and let me just say this real quick, because all the I've been meaning to say this. All the Cashman haters who are out there screaming about Brian Cashman and what a terrible job he's done and the team isn't built right, blah, blah, blah. It's fair. But just remember, when they were winning, I asked all of you, whether it was on this show or on Twitter, I hope you're listening, because you all you called up and I said, well, what happens if they start losing? What happens if they don't win in the playoffs? Are you going to, because everyone said, oh, he finally got it right. Oh, it took, the Cashman haters were like, oh, it took 18 years. He finally got it right. He finally added some lefty hitters. Oh, he finally built a good roster. He finally has some depth. He finally has this, finally has that. And we're supposed to applaud him when it's the first time in 10 years? And I said, okay, I just want to make sure he's finally done it. So everyone's pleased with the job Brian Cashman's done, and no matter what happens, at least Brian Cashman built the right team. And all of you said, yes, no, this year he's got it right. It's not good enough, but at least this year he's got it right. And now all of you are off that train, hating Brian Cashman. He did everything wrong, didn't build a good enough team, like I knew you would. But I'm sorry I hijacked your phone call there, John. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. And the other thing is, a couple of weeks ago, Yankees fans were like, how could you pitch to Aaron Judge? He's so hot.
Correct.
They had a 5-run lead. What are you going to do, walk the guy? And then, yeah. And then you know, what happened?
I completely agree.
After that, you don't walk divas in that situation. The kid was pitching well.
I totally agree. I don't walk Devers. I have no problem with not walking Devers. None. And I have no problem with not even considering it. I know I saw a couple people harp on that, that Boone said in the game he didn't even consider it. I'm not walking Devers with nobody on in a tie game. I'm just not. I understand how dynamic he is. I get it. He's not Barry Bonds. He's not Babe Ruth. He's not Aaron Judge. I know he plays like that against the Yankees, and it's something to be taken into account for. And if there's a situation to walk him, I absolutely do it. I'll let somebody else beat me. That's, I mean, if you know, first and second, or two, man on second, two outs. Yeah, okay. Okay, even first and second, two outs. If I'm up a run, I'm open to walking him there, because I can't just assume he's going to hit a home run every at bat. I have no problem not walking him. That's not what this is about. It really isn't what it's about. Ryan in Tarrytown, what's up, Ryan?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
Taking my call.
You got it.
In regards to Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman, yeah. I really respect, I'm a Mets fan, but I really respected the rebuild in 2017. I still understand why they couldn't put Mariano Rivera in right field. Like, just Jesse Orozco played right field, and he was pretty good at right field, I thought, you know?
What are you talking about? What does that have to do with the rebuild? Are you trying to
like Mariano Rivera wanted to play the outfield, I heard, on the papers.
Yeah.
And they couldn't put him out there.
You heard that in the papers? Yes. For his last game, he wanted to.
The game in Houston? In Houston, he wanted to play in the outfield.
That is true. I don't know what that has to do with what we're talking about.
Right. And it was fun. He even caught a fly ball.
That's amazing. That's a great anecdote. What does that have anything to do with what's going on right now?
No. I mean, I just think, but the, like with Hal and who did that? That wasn't Gerard. It's probably Hal and Brian Cashman, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's not very funny. I'm not sure what he was trying to do. I don't know if that's the same guy who got under my skin that made the video yelling about it. I don't think so. But yeah. No, they didn't let Mo play the outfield. That was a sad, sad day. Joe in the Bronx, what's up, Joe?
Hey, C-Mac, great show, as always.
Thank you, sir.
C-Mac, before I get to my baseball point, I want to thank you again. I think about 2 years ago, you did a little bit on Memorial Day, and I told you my son was in Kuwait. And serving, and you were great. You were great. I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you for you and your family, and obviously your son for his service.
Absolutely, C-Mac. C-Mac, you know what's funny? I listened to the point of view of the Yankees. It's still 18 games over 500.
They are,
and I'm a Mets fan, and they, you know, we're still struggling. We're gonna whatever happens, but they're still fighting, and I'm sure the Yankees will be okay. I think once everything turns on again, all cylinders, and I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your show.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand that. Well, right now it's just the Mets have been on this great run. The Yankees have been terrible. And still, if they were in the same division, the Yankees would be 9 games better than the Mets. But that doesn't matter. All that matters is where they are and how the teams are playing right now. And right now, despite the fact that they still have a 4.5 game lead as the overall top wild card, and despite the fact that even after spending a month playing 10 games under 500, they're still in good standing. Like, the season's not over. Like, that's part of it, too. Like, they, you know, I'm mad because I want things to change. And maybe, you know, I'm open. I'm now it's the first time I'm open to letting go of Boone from what I've seen the last few weeks. I don't know if they will. In fact, I'm pretty sure they won't. But, I mean, it's gotten to that point where something needs to change with this group because I don't know why the lack of hustle and fundamentals are so prevalent. And it's just hard to watch. It's just hard to watch. They're an ugly baseball team. Forget boring. Because whenever you don't score runs, you're boring. I mean, it gets so, like, the idea that it's about winning and losing. Because I heard that all the time a couple years ago. Not only are the Yankees losing, but they're boring. No, that's just them not scoring. Would you rather lose games 10-9? You find that more exciting? You wouldn't be so upset with the Yankees if they were losing 11-10 every night and couldn't pitch? What's the difference? Losing is losing. There's fun winning 1-0, and there's miserable losing 11-10. There's no fun way to lose. So forget fun. They're impossible to watch because their play is so hideous. Their play is so hideous. All these games have been blowouts either way. They either get blown out or they find a way. Like, even their wins against Toronto, against, you know, Boston the other day, like, they haven't played a well-balanced, good-pitched, well-defended, just scraped together enough runs and won a close ball game. It feels like they haven't done that in forever. They haven't won back-to-back games since the 11th and 12th of June. Patton's suffering. What's up, Pat?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Not much, but, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm just trying to, like, think this thing through and with the Yankees, but it was sort of a revelation with, remember with John Carlo, like, oh, my God, who is this guy, you know? And then now they don't have him. You know, who knows? Maybe if he, you know, comes back and is the John Carlo that was, you know, there in the beginning of the year, you know, just look, if he was in there, they do not lose to the Mets 9-7. They win that game.
Well, I mean, they win. I don't know any specific game, but they're probably better than 6-16. I agree with you. He was an important part of the offense. It was a devastating loss.
Yeah, so maybe it's like, think about it, like when the Packers started 0-2, and Aaron Rodgers said, you know, calm down, or, like, you know, maybe people just have to, you know, be patient.
Yeah, but,
and see.
I understand that, but it doesn't excuse. I'm not even talking about the losing. I mean, the reason they're losing partially is because of this poor play, but it's about what we saw from Grisham, what we've seen from DJ LeMahieu, what we saw from Gleyber Torres, what we've seen from Anthony Volpe, the lack of hustle, the dumb plays. I mean, that's hard to explain. Even while losing, they have to be better than this if they want to win while they're going through it. And I'm still on the board. I'm not, you know, they say, is it panic mode? I don't know what panic means. Should I panic? What is me panicking going to do? Am I in panic mode? No. I do not believe the season is lost. I do not think they're going to go 6-16 over every 22-game stretch the rest of the year. I still look at the teams. I think they're better than the Minnesota Twins. I do think they're better when healthy, and hopefully they'll add at the deadline. I think they're better than the Red Sox. I think they're better than Kansas City. I think they'll be still competing for this division. I still think that. But these players got to get their act together, and the manager has got to find a way to create that urgency that was there at the beginning of the year. I don't want to dismiss the beginning of the year. That's where me and a lot of fans... excuse me, sorry. That's where me and a lot of fans go our separate ways. I'm frustrated. I'm disgusting. This is garbage. The manager needs to be held accountable for it if he's not going to hold his players accountable, and we're going to see this crap. Absolutely. But what I won't do is dismiss the first 2 months as if it were a mirage, as if it didn't happen, as if I can't take anything from it. I don't agree with that. There's a baseball season. It's 162 games. When the Yankees are losing at the start of the year, when the Yankees aren't taking the game serious in April like they have the previous 3 or 4 years, where they give guys repeated days off in the first month, when there wasn't that sense of urgency and they were losing games in April, everybody was real quick to tell me how important those April games are. And they count exactly the same, and you can't throw these away, and you can't be putting out punt lineups in April. This is ridiculous. Why does Judge need back-to-back off days? You know, this is all the stuff we were hearing. The Yankees are punting on April. They treat it like spring training. It's ridiculous. Those games mean just as much. And now this year, they had a terrific April and May, and we want to dismiss those games. Oh, they don't matter. All that matters is the last 20 games. Okay. I'm pretty freaking furious about the last 20 games. They went as poorly as I could possibly imagine 20 games going. And right now, it looks like they're a bunch of mopers and crybabies who don't have their head in the game and don't want to hustle because woe is me. That's what it feels like. Feels like there's a whole bunch of woe is me going on. And it's up to the manager to change it. But I mean, while do I think that this rotation's the best in baseball necessarily? No. Like it was the first 2 months? No. Do I think it's this atrocious that it's been the last 20 games? I do not. This lineup certainly has guys that are struggling. Do I think Verdugo is going to be terrible the rest of the year? No. Do I think Gleyber Torres is going to have the worst year of his career at the age of 27? Hopefully he's healthy. No, I don't. Do I think Anthony Volpe is slightly better than the garbage he's put forth for the last 2 weeks? I do. Do I think Stanton coming back? Do I think Jason Dominguez coming back is going to impact this team? I do. Do I think they're going to go out at the trade deadline and get bats and relievers? I do. This is not the finished product, nor is it what we're going to see all year long. But while they're struggling, this manager has no answers, and they play the worst, ugliest, poorly, fundamentally. It's like, I mean, the mistakes they make are mind-numbing. Mind-numbing. And the lack of hustle is unacceptable. And he benched Gleyber Torres for it, but he's pretty much backed up every other player. He's given DJ LeMahieu a break. He gave Grisham a break. Somewhere you got to draw the line. Let's get to one more call before the break. Dan in Manhattan. What's up, Dan?
Chris, I got a couple of things after listening to you. Yes. First of all, Gleyber's only 27. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
It feels like he's been around for so long.
He came up in 2018, yeah. He's been around a while.
Wow. And I don't remember them having a streak like this last year. It seems like they were their wins and losses were more balanced. I don't ever remember them really going into a hole like this.
Right after Judge got hurt, they kind of really played poorly. But even if it wasn't this bad, they never had any stretches that were as good as we saw in the first 2 months.
Oh,
of this season.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. Like hopefully this will blow over. Like, it's like a 300 hitter. He doesn't hit 300 every day of the season the entire year. He'll have a month where he hits 450. He'll have a month where he hits 210. Like, that's how it
right.
works.
Right. I mean, they're going to lose 60 games. However they lose, whether it's bad play, good play, they're going to lose 60 games. So
they're probably going to lose a little more than that, but hopefully not too many more.
But I wanted to ask you, after Devers hit that second home run,
yeah.
I was thinking, he is a Yankee killer. And
no doubt.
I started wondering if we, the Yankees, ever had anyone who was the same at Fenway. I don't know if you watched the game, but they showed a graphic of these most home runs at Yankee Stadium to take the lead by Red Sox. Okay. And now Devers took the lead. He's got 11. And, of course, Big Poppy was there. Right. Manny was there.
Right.
And I started thinking, is there any Yankee that preyed on the Red Sox? I mean, I know they used to kill them all the time, but was there any one or two guys that has that many home runs to take the lead at Fenway? I mean, can you think of...
I don't remember
specifically.
Thank you for the call, Dan. Off the top of my head, in my lifetime, no, not really. Prior to 2000 and even 99, you know, I guess they played in the ALCS. But prior to 2003, the rivalry was sort of dead. The Yankees were so good and the Red Sox really weren't. Then I guess 99 it picked up, Pedro Martinez. So I guess, yeah, let's say from 99. So from 99 on, was there anyone who just absolutely wore out the Red Sox? I can't think of anybody who just absolutely killed the Red Sox. There's probably somebody, I mean, without looking at it. Do you have any idea, Fleeks?
I mean, I don't think they love facing Jeter.
No, well, I mean, yeah, nobody did, but I don't
know. Like, because even like Devers and Ortiz, it's not like it's an under-the-radar guy. Those are the stars.
Those are the stars. So I'm trying to think of stars. Like, I know, you know, Bernie Williams hit the walk-off home run in that series in 99, and it was, you know, a sweep. And then in 2003, I mean, famously Aaron Boone. But in that series, I don't know who killed them in that series. Matsui, and he hit a bunch in the 2004 series. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I'd have to look, to be honest with you. Let's get to Peter in Great Neck. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Mac. How are you, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. The only problem I really have with Aaron Boone is the fact that he keeps making excuses for these guys. You know, like...
He keeps what? Making excuses?
He keeps, like his post-game interviews. Yeah. You know, he doesn't call them out. He doesn't...
Yeah.
You know, he's always making excuses. Other than that, he's feeling the hand he's dealt.
I mean, I agree. The only problem is, like, again, I don't know. It's his style to not call out the guys. Again, I have heard there have been reports. We've seen it. Glaber's talked about it. Others have talked about it. And I've heard. I mean, there's no way the fire that we see against umpires never shows up anywhere else. I am sure that after that game on Friday night, Anthony Volpe got a talking to. I don't think there's any doubt. Right? He wasn't benched and he wasn't flogged publicly. But I don't think there's any doubt he felt the wrath on some way, shape, or form. If you feel like it has to be public so you're in on it, I mean, it's not like you're not getting on Anthony Volpe. The public certainly is. Or DJ LeMahieu, the public certainly is. So if you just want your blood, like... I guess benching would help more than, like, to me, you don't play. And we've seen that with the Mets too. Right? I've praised the Mets for, you know, kicking guys out of their spots. You know, Hauser's not pitching good in the rotation, you're gone. Go to the bullpen, which is where he's been great. You know, everybody but really Jeff McNeil. Everybody else, you know, Beatty, not good enough. We're gonna bring up Vientos. We'll see you later. That's what they've done. You know, Lopez, you don't want to be here. You want to throw your glove. You want to say you don't care what the manager thinks. All right, bye. Even while they were dealing with injuries to the bullpen, it doesn't matter. Goodbye. And now, I don't think the Yankees are in that position, nor do I think anyone warrants being kicked off the team or removed from their spot necessarily, but you could have benched. You could have taken him right off the field at that point, I suppose, and really embarrassed him publicly. I guess you could have done that. Boone's not going to do that. Boone's not going to do that. And honestly, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a handful of managers who would, but it's just hard for me to think that's the thing that's missing. Something's clearly missing. Once the ball starts rolling in the opposite direction, it's very hard for the Yankees to stop it. And more than that, watching them, it's the body language. It's the body language of LeMahieu. It's the body language of Rodon. It's the body language of Volpe. It just looks like it's just woe is me. It's what I mean, just we stink. We suck. We were so good. Now we're so bad. I told you before, I'll tease it again. I'll tell you exactly why DJ LeMay is playing. It's not hard to figure out, but I mean these guys, they've got to motivate themselves on some level too. Like there's got to be personal responsibility. Like, players, like fans will say this. He doesn't hold anybody accountable, so why wouldn't they care? Like, do you want players who need the manager to hold them accountable to play smart baseball? Like, honestly, do you need Aaron Boone to tell Anthony Volpe to hustle the whole play through? And then do you think he didn't critically get on him publicly, and that's, like, suddenly, you know, Volpe's like, hey, I guess this is okay. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. But I also don't get what the hell's going on. It needs to change. So I'm open to almost anything at this point because, I mean, they're about to start a huge last two series heading into the All-Star break against the Rays and the Orioles. And if they fall flat on their face again, I mean, if they're, I mean, if they get swept in one of these series, or Baltimore, you know, Baltimore sweeps them heading into the All-Star break, maybe the manager does get fired. And if enough poor play, enough bad fundamentals, enough dumb mistakes, enough not hustling continues, the manager might get fired. So this is what I'll say to Aaron Judge, because I think he truly does love Aaron Boone. And I'll say this to the rest of the group. If anybody's listening, if you like your manager, you better cut the crap, because you're going to get him fired. Because there's only so much Hal Steinbrenner can take. And there's only so much before it's worth the change. Because this is as bad as it gets. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. We'll come back, talk a little Mets. And then we'll get to a little bit of All-Star break. We'll get to a little bit of who's an All-Star, who's not an All-Star. Everybody's favorite game. Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you why DJ LeMay is playing. That's obvious.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 3:37. McMonagle here with you. I'm watching the replay now. How does Devers pull that outside fastball to the one to the right center field alley? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. As the Yankees lose again. And lose 2 out of 3 to Boston. They are 6-0-6-1 in their last 7 series. They haven't won a series since June 11th and 12th, though those are the last two games they won back-to-back games, and that was the series against Kansas City that they took 3 of 4 in Kansas City. Have not won a series since, 0-6-1, and have just embarrassed themselves, and the lack of fundamentals is horrendous. And I just teased about why DJ LeMahieu was playing. Let me just tell you this right now. DJ LeMahieu was playing for one reason, and I think this is it to me. They don't think Oswaldo Cabrera is a game-changing player. They think, whether it's Cashman or Boone or whomever, they believe that right now they're still, again, 18 games over 500, still leading the wild card. They don't believe the season is lost. They know they're going to add, blah, 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 blah. They believe getting DJ LeMahieu right could get them another significant player who really dramatically helps the team. That's it. They want to get him hot because they think a hot DJ LeMahieu is a significant piece. I don't know if game changer is strong, but someone who brings everything they want, a contact guy, you know, base hit guy, great guy with runners in scoring position, which he's been brutal at with a runner on third and less than 2 outs. He's been brutal. But it's going to come a point where they have to abandon that. He can't get forever. I understand the thought process. I do. DJ LeMahieu at the top of his game is better than Oswaldo Cabrera. And if you can get DJ LeMahieu back to being an 800 OPS, 370 on base percentage guy, that's as good a player as the Yankees could ask for. So I get it, but it's getting to the point where it's hurting them on a daily basis and the team is spiraling out of control. Oswaldo Cabrera, who's been able to play at second base with Torres down for a couple days, I mean, he's given you better at-bats than DJ LeMahieu. I don't think anyone could argue. I don't think the Yankees would argue. But the thought process is if they can get DJ going, they'll have the better player. Oswaldo Cabrera can't be what a effective DJ LeMahieu is. And they're trying to see if they can get that. But there's got to be a line of demarcation. There has to be a line in the sand where you abandon that plan because he's killing them. He's killing them. He's hitting ground balls, and so is Volpe. Volpe's absolutely, I think the bloom is off the rose for Anthony Volpe. Now it's time to perform. This is your second year. This is the second half of your second year. You look like a different player to start the year. They moved you to leadoff. You had a 20-plus odd game hitting streak. You were unbelievable. I made everyone believe what you were going to be, and now you've been brutal for over a month. And if you watch the game, the great thing about him to start the year was he was going the other way. He rolls over on everything, every outside pitch. They throw him outside breaking balls, he rolls at the short. It's the only thing they throw him. Throw him breaking balls on the outside corner. He's gonna be out in front of it, and he's going to roll to the shortstop. It's over and over and over and over. They're killing him. And DJ LeMahieu, again, eventually they're going to have to take him out of the lineup. But right now, they still feel like they're in a position to try and figure him out. That's exactly why he's playing. Jim in Hackettstown. What's up, Jim?
Hey, good morning. So, listen.
Yes.
I mean, the Yankees got to go to the youth movement. I've seen enough with DJ LeMahieu. I mean, I remember when he was the LeMachine, but he's not LeMachine anymore, okay? The guy's always hitting him dope plays. He's got no power anymore. I say, you know, Cabrera surprisingly played great defensive third base. I'm saying put Cabrera in at third base. I know you can't get rid of LeMahieu. That's fine. You can use him at first base when you want to rest the guy, at third base when you want to rest the guy, and at second base when you want to rest the guy. But I don't want to see him play every day at third base. And then, you know, as far as the lineup goes, I would, you know, the Volpe, his problem is he's being too aggressive. Put Volpe, you know, lead up, you know, pretty much the lineup that it is, you know, I would put after Judge, I would put the kid in, you know, at first base, Ben Rice.
Yeah.
And then you know what? Listen, managing 101, it doesn't matter what the pitcher was, when it was in the seventh inning and no one had scored a run, you cannot let the best player on Boston hit a home run. Someone's got to go out and either tell the guy, walk them, don't throw any pitches that he hit, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. Devers is the best player on their team. You can't let him hit a home run at that point of the game. And the guy, because the Boston pitcher has like 53 pitches in the seventh inning.
That's the problem, too. Yeah, I don't have a problem pitching to Devers. I mean, you can't let him. I mean, so I'm going to put a guy on and possibly create a big inning. Luis Gil's been pitching really well. I understand it's the third time seeing Devers. I'm not walking him to put him on. I'm just not. Maybe I'm wrong. I wouldn't. I would not. There have been things I agree with Boone, disagree with Boone. I would not put Devers on in a 0-0 game. Why am I giving them base runners? Luis Gil's been pitching great. I'm not giving them anything. It's up to Luis Gil not to throw a fastball right down the middle with two strikes. That's the problem. It was a terrible pitch, and it was a great at-bat from Devers. Plain and simple. They got beat by the... They didn't score any runs. Didn't matter. It was a great at-bat, and that leads me into the great at-bats of yesterday for the New York Mets. As they took care of Pittsburgh 3-2 and got to the great Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning. And the thing about this game for me, and the Mets obviously, they since last we spoke, they lost the last two games against Washington and got just absolutely bombarded by the home run ball. Seven home runs. They ran out of fireworks. Everyone's, with Pittsburgh hitting all those home runs. And, you know, Severino not having a great start, but they've rallied here. They got the last two games. They're 2-0 now that Diaz is back. And this would have been a devastating loss for the Mets, in my opinion. Because, I mean, you get the big hit from Nimmo, who's been like everything you could ask for. I mean, Nimmo's been terrific, and he's been a huge part of all of this. I mean, he's been a huge part of turning this thing around, and he's been clutch. Even when he went through, you know, some lulls this year, I mean, his RBI numbers are up. His numbers late and close are terrific. He's been an extremely clutch player, along with Lindor here since April, really. But, and Vientos, I mean, and Alvarez, you go through the list, everyone's kind of been good. But you take the lead, you bring in Diaz, he's just, you know, back pretty much from the IL. If he were to blow this game, and now you have to win later today to just tie up a series against Pittsburgh, I mean, that just would have been a real tough loss. You had, you know, Nunez in there. He's been your best reliever all year. He gets into some trouble. You bring in Diaz. He gives up the base hit. You give up the lead. It just would have been a devastating loss. And it just felt like, oh, man, this is going to be like, is now, all right, you lose the last two against Washington, you split that series. You get pounded the first game, you come back, you win one. Now right back to another loss, and it's like, okay, so now you've lost, what, four out of the last five? It's just this team needs to keep the momentum going. And plus a little bit of, you know, the whole nonsense about the OMG concert. I think that's overblown, but people will start to use it, and that might bother some Met fans, but whatever the case may be, this would have been a devastating loss. And then this team does, in the ninth inning, exactly what you expect this team to do and exactly why they've turned this season around and exactly why right now, as a Yankee fan, I am jealous. That's right. Jealous watching this Met team because Chapman, who was a little wild to start the inning, but is throwing 102-mile-an-hour fastballs, getting ahead on hitters, too, later in the inning. But, I mean, he is a difficult at-bat, right? We all know that. Even when he struggles, he's just a difficult at-bat. And the at-bats that were put on, whether it's, I mean, Alvarez, you get the first two guys on, and Alvarez and then Bader, who, in my opinion, is another guy just at the bottom of this lineup who's done a terrific job with the way he plays in center field. Me and Fliegelman were talking about it. He just needs to be the everyday center fielder. Like, that's how good Bader has been. Forget it. Set it and forget it. He's the everyday center fielder. He's been as clutch, maybe, I guess, of recent, last month or so, you could say Nimmo's really pulled away, but Bader has been one of the more clutch hitters they've had. He's been integral to this whole thing. I mean, I understand his numbers against right-handed pitching, but I don't care. Like, he's just been too good to sit. He comes through with a great at-bat, gives you the single up the middle, and you get the first two runners on, and then, you know, Chapman starts locating that backup slider on the outside corner. He gets Vientos to strike out looking, who had a good at-bat up until that moment, and then Turen strikes out, and you figure, all right, here we go. Here we go. They're going to blow this game. They got the first two games on in the inning. They're going to get stranded there. Typical Mets, right? But this team has been just different all year. And the at-bat by Iglesias, who has been a revelation. Whether, forget the Dopey song, which, all right, we all admit it's a fun song. It's good. Sing it. I don't care. Sing it after home runs. Who cares? What this guy has done, like, we all knew he was the slick fielding second baseman that he's shown to be, right? He is excellent there. He is excellent there. But, I mean, his at-bats, his ability to go the other way, you know, even showing you some pop, and the at-bat he gives you in this inning where he draws a walk and just battles and battles and eventually takes the slider down for ball four. I mean, Iglesias, you want to talk about Bader being the starting center fielder? I'm sorry. I know right now they're still, you know, Marte on the IL. I'm open to McNeil playing the outfield. He's not going to kill you out there. I don't think he's particularly great, but he's not going to kill you out there. He's solid enough. You want to keep him in the lineup for some reason? That's fine. I would treat him as a bench player and play him sporadically, but if you want to play him, fine. Iglesias is your second baseman. I don't know if we're going to talk about a team that anti what we've been talking about with Boone and the Yankees. They have held people accountable. That's what they've done. They've come into this year with a different mindset. It's going to be trying to win while building, this and that. You could see buying and selling. The year's not, we're not going to be picked by as many team people to win the championship. All this stuff from the beginning of the year. Whatever was said has been acted out differently as the season has gone along. If you don't play well, you don't play. Even young players who they wanted to get a look at, like Beatty, they're getting a look at in AAA right now. Like, they've done everything you could possibly want an organization to do that's looking for winning, other than, you know, maybe at the beginning of the year, I would have brought a pitcher in, but the pitching's actually been not the problem. But ultimately, the way they've played, the way they've held their players accountable, as I talked about earlier, has been everything you could want. I don't understand how Iglesias, forget what McNeil does, forget whether or not McNeil deserves anything on the McNeil angle, Iglesias deserves to play every day. I mean, he is, for me, the starting second baseman. He's been incredible. He gives you that walk. Nimmo gives you the walk. And after Lindor, obviously, I'm sorry. So Lindor then gives you the hit. I mean, Lindor's been great. I mean, since he's been moved to the top of the lineup, Lindor's been absolutely great. And to come back and win that game, and then obviously Diaz comes back out and gives you a very easy bottom of the ninth, that is a terrific win. That is the kind of win against the opponent who just, you know, kicked your ass the other night, you're battling with inside this National League wild card race. You've scuffled a little bit offensively, even on days where the offense gets shut down. They give you the big time performances in the big time at bats and give you just enough. Like, they are never out of a game. They are consistently giving you good at bats, even when they don't score. Right? I mean, there was some strikeout. Alonso's had some, you know, swing and misses. Vientos hasn't been great the entire stretch, but, like, they continue to give you good at-bats. And that ninth inning was a masterclass of they just wouldn't be denied. They didn't always get great swings, but they just worked it and worked it and worked it. And this team right now just has that feel that they're going to figure out a way to win a ball game. And now hopefully the, you know, with Diaz back and no more issues, you know, he's going to do the same stuff. It doesn't bother him. He was just using resin, sweat, and dirt. But hopefully no more issues with that. He's back. They're 2-0 since he's been back. The pitching, whether it's Manaea, whether it's obviously you're getting the best out of Quintana lately. Scott's back in the rotation. Like, and everything else with this lineup, even when they're going poorly, they find a way to give you that ninth inning. And that was a great win. And now they got to follow it up, win the series later today. And then the New York Mets, with another homestand right before the All-Star break, are going to have a chance to do what they need to do to get to this GM and convince him to go out and bolster this team. And again, I've told you, it's hard for me to look at the Mets through a prism anything other than what are they going to do at the trade deadline? Like, that's just where I'm focused. And, you know, it's a couple weeks now they have to do it. Now, it seems like they've done a great job. They've played fairly well. A little bit of up and down here the last week, maybe. But at 500, two games back of the wild card, I'm still curious on where this GM, because depending on who you talk to, oh, well, listen, of course, this owner won't allow it. This GM's going to be out in full buy mode. He's going to do it. I don't know. I don't know if they're in a position right now to try and bolster this team with the prospects they do have, the what they're trying to do and build the farm system, and really in this wacky trade deadline where they've added this extra wild card team and everybody is going to be looking for relief help. Everybody is going to be looking to improve their team and less teams are going to be looking to sell. The question is, how motivated are the New York Mets? How motivated is Stearns and this owner during a season they kind of went in with the expectation of selling, or at the very least standing pat and not considering really buying? I don't think anybody expected them to buy at the deadline heading in. Now they find themselves in a position where, again, you look around the rest of the National League, yes, the Dodgers are tough. Yes, the Phillies have the best record in baseball, and at any moment the Atlanta Braves could go off. But anything can happen in the playoffs, and right now you can't tell me, besides those three teams, the Mets aren't as good as anyone. And I just don't know how motivated this group is. And to get back to the, I've been thinking about this a little bit because I've been dead set against the idea of buying and selling and robbing Peter to pay Paul. I just hate the idea. I want to go out there and make deals with prospects for players who can help this team and to trade away things that are helping you to get different things. But it doesn't make much sense to me. But I'm starting to think, as this market is going to reveal itself before the deadline, and you're going to see all these teams theoretically still in the mix. Now, I don't know how they'll deem themselves, and we'll see how it plays out. But as we talk about, so many Yankee fans wanted to trade Gleyber Torres, and Fliegelman was just telling me a story about someone wanted to trade Pete Alonso, and, you know, for a starting pitcher, or Pete Alonso for a bullpen guy, or whatever the case may be. Mike, I'm starting to think, is it more possible than I'm giving it credit to trade those kind of trades that typically aren't deadline moves? It's typically a deadline move is you trade a veteran, someone whose contract is expiring or whatever, that can help a pennant race, and you get prospects back. That is typically a deadline move. But considering the new deadline and how many teams are still in it, could teams that are desperate to improve their team fall back to these type of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours type trades when there are teams out there who might not be looking to sell? If there's a limited market and teams who are super motivated, as I think the Yankees will be, as I would think teams like Baltimore would be, Like, if there are less actual teams looking to sell, and then there are a handful of super motivated, this is the year type teams, and then there's everybody else, maybe you could see, I don't know about Pete Alonso specifically, but maybe you could see a Severino for something that helps you elsewhere. Maybe you could see a move like that where you could buy and sell at the same time. Maybe I'm becoming more open to it. It doesn't make much sense to me, but I'm trying to figure out how this deadline's going to work with the entire National League in the mix for the wild card. Now, anything can happen in the next 2 weeks. I get that. But that's why it's so important for the Mets to win these games. It's so important not to blow that game. It's so important to bounce back, have those at-bats, and breed the confidence that this team is breeding. Even with, like, you know, J.D. Martinez is struggling. Vientos, you know, hasn't been killing it the same way necessarily. But you get those at-bats, and you get what Nimmo's been doing. You get what Lindor's been doing, and you rally and take down their closer, who obviously Bednar just went on the IL. Like, if you go in there and take Chapman and work those at-bats and make him throw 30-some-odd pitches and get Lindor to come through with that base hit and then send Diaz back out there to save the game, and now you're on the precipice of winning 3 out of 4 before heading home for a homestand, those games are enormous to build towards what this GM should do and how much confidence he has in this group that never says die. That never says die. Two teams going in opposite directions. Both going to be looking to do the same thing at the deadline. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll get into the All-Star game. We'll get into the idea Pete Alonso is an All-Star and Lindor is not, as Pete Alonso is the only All-Star from the Met, and he will be, of course, in the Home Run Derby, clearly. I mean, was there any doubt Pete Alonso would go to the Home Run Derby? And then, of course, Clay Holmes is an All-Star for the Yankees. How do we feel about that? So maybe we'll have a little fun talking about meaningless stuff like the All-Star game instead of the important stuff like, can the Mets figure out a way to play well enough to entice this GM to buy? And can this Yankee team actually show a pulse between now and the trade deadline?